Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Powerful Patient. I'm Joyce Graff and I'm delighted to have you with me today. And with me is my good buddy Robin Martinez. Hi, Robin. Well, Robin may have some technical difficulties going on, so we will hope that she'll be able to join us in a minute. According to the board, she's on, but it didn't seem to work right. Okay, she's going to dial back in. Meanwhile, let me give you a little background on the topic of today's show. We're going to talk about radiation safety and quality. I recently attended a meeting just last weekend on radiation quality and safety in Barcelona, Spain, as the guest of the European Society of Radiology and also of the American College of Radiology. And I was the one and only consumer advocate in the room, so it was quite an experience. And I think Robin's with us now. Hi, Robin. How you doing?
Hi. Can you
Good.
Hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks.
Oh, great.
So we had a little connection issue there, but we got it resolved. Thanks. Radiation quality and safety. It was very interesting. It was 46, I think, experts from each country. We had people there from five continents. And so there were generally one to three people from each continent and several more from countries of Europe. But in any event, they were country representatives, so it was pretty high level. And they were talking about radiation quality and safety from their perspective as professionals, how they can make sure that the radiologists on their staffs are doing their best job, that the scans are of the best quality, and so forth. And I think one of the questions I wanted to pose to Robin this morning is what constitutes, from a consumer's perspective, what constitutes a good scan? So tell me your perspective on that.
Well, a good scan is one that gives you the information that you're looking for. And sometimes it gives you information that you're not looking for, too. But say you suspect that there's something going on in the lungs and you do a certain type of scan and the scan says, nope, no problem at all, and you still have a problem. You're still hacking and coughing and feeling miserable and spitting up stuff and maybe even bleeding, and they do a different type of scan, or maybe they even redo the same type of scan, and suddenly they see a problem there. So what you want is the one that sees the problems that actually exist.
But thanks. So what do you see? Yeah, go ahead.
That requires an expert to help you figure out which scans you need when.
Okay, so you just touched on it a little bit, but what do you see as the role of the radiologist? So many of the people I've spoken with see the radiologist himself as somewhat invisible. So what do you think is the role of the radiologist in this?
Yeah, the radiologist is sort of like the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain.
I love it.
Most patients never have contact with the radiologist, him or herself. They have contact with a technician who does the scan, and then the scan is sent to the radiologist, and the radiologist reads it and gives his or her opinion, and then that goes to the doctor, and the doctor, if the doctor is trained in reading scans, the doctor may also read the scan. But some doctors don't even read through the whole scan report. They just look at the summary, which is really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's consistent with what I hear from other people, too. So the radiologist, as you say, is the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. I love that. That's great. And because they're not always in direct contact with the patient. And so sometimes it's hard for the patient to realize the value that is being added by the radiologist. And one of the things that came up for me as we were in this meeting was the radiologist in my life, whom I have respected the most and whose opinion has been critically important to me, was Dr. Peter Choike at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. So as I was sitting in the meeting, I was kind of going back through in my mind, what was it about his contribution that was so incredibly valuable? And I think this is the radiologist who was most critically involved in the VHL study group at the National Institutes of Health. And because he was involved in so many cases, he had a perspective on a scan for our particular kinds of tumors that was unequaled. And so his involvement with the scans and with the team gave him a rich perspective that nobody else had. And these days, that's kind of hard to accrue, because so many of the scans are disassociated from the doctor, from the ordering physician, disassociated from the patient, and sometimes even disassociated from the hospital. One of the revealing comments was that there's one of a number of outsourcing companies that have sprung up to read scans, and one of them alone works for 2,100 hospitals in the United States, and they outsource the scans. So they actually transmit the scans electronically to their offices in a remote part of the United States. I mean, it's not in your town, it's not even in your state, and they read the scans and send the reports back to the doctors. And as a patient, I'm finding that somewhat concerning. What's your reaction to that?
Another thing that's coming up that makes me kind of nervous is there are so many specialized scans now that practically no place can offer them all. And if your specialty isn't radiology, how are you going to keep track of them all? If you have a patient who has carcinoid syndrome, for example, they need specialized scans, and in fact they probably need three different types of scans, and the average doctor doesn't even know what carcinoid syndrome is. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult to stay on top of the whole imaging scene.
Right, and at one point they were talking about how you measure the output of a radiologist, and they were talking about so many scans per hour, you know, how many reports that is generated by this particular radiologist who basically sits in his cave in front of a monitor all day. And, you know, I said to them, from a patient's perspective and from the perspective of the ordering physician, the number of reports he cranks out is not the measure that I would put out there. It's maybe what's the turnaround time and how accurately did they depict what's going on in this picture.
Right, right. And how often did they overlook something that should have been reported on? Or not put it in the summary, but put it in the body of the report and the doctor never saw it. That's happened with a lot of people who've had, say they have a car accident or something, and while the scan is going on for the car accident, a tumor is noted, and the radiologist might say, needs follow-up on such and such, but he puts it in the body of the report, no one ever sees it again.
That's a good point. So, as you say, they have an accident or something, and they send them for a scan to check their spleen and make sure their spleen's not damaged. And while they're looking at the spleen, they go, oh, what's this little thing over here on the kidney? And if that's written in the body of the report, and if the ordering physician never reads the whole report but just reads the summary, then there is a danger that that could be overlooked.
Right, or sometimes the report stays in the emergency room and never makes it to the main doctor of the person, so there's no follow-up at all.
Yeah, and this is another one of the points that I made with them. But, you know, it seems to me that if a radiologist sort of sits and reads scans all day and produces reports but never has any interaction with the ordering physician or with the patient, it's almost as though they're taking an exam and they never get the results.
Yeah,
they don't get any feedback, you know, so they don't know if they're right or wrong.
That must be really frustrating, not to be getting feedback. And radiologists so rarely see the patients who have the scans that they don't get any feedback from the patients either. And it would be really nice to be able to have patients going to the radiologist and giving them some feedback, like, it was really uncomfortable lying on my back for that long, but the scan was great. It was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. I had this conversation with Dr. Corina Villar in Toledo in Spain. I spent a few days in Spain after the meeting. And she said, well, in Spain, the radiologist is always in the room with the technician and is dialoguing with the technician about, oh, that picture is great, or can you take another shot from this other angle? And I said to her, you know, I think that's wonderful, and there aren't enough radiologists in the world to do that.
That's interesting.
One of the fascinating reports that we had was from a physician from Uganda who had put together some statistics about the prevalence of radiologists, how many radiologists are there in a particular country versus the population. And there are whole countries in Africa where there might be one radiologist with just a master's degree who's not even a full MD, has not had the extensive post-MD training that's required in the United States, but just has a master's degree and a certain level of experience, of course. So this is not a novice, but nonetheless, it doesn't have the level of training that is required in many other countries.
Right, and also don't have access to the best equipment either, which is a big handicap.
Exactly.
If you don't have any CT machine in your country, for example, it's going to be really difficult to help patients.
Right. So from a patient's perspective, one of the things I thought we could talk about here is, what is it important for patients to know about radiology and radiologists and how to get the most bang for their buck? Because after all, we're ultimately paying with our time and our discomfort and our dollars to get this scan made, and how can we make the most of it? So,
well,
and
one
go ahead.
One thing I always tell people to remember, and this to me is the top of the list, is that no matter how good a scan is, no matter how good the machine is, no matter how good the radiologist is, any scan at any time can miss anything.
Mm.
It can give you a false report. And even if it's supposed to be the best type of scan for imaging whatever problem you're having, you may need a different scan to actually see the problem. And you just have to remember that.
You're quite right. And that's more important with different kinds of problems than it is for everything. I mean, for example, just take the most ordinary one. And you mentioned scanning your lung to make sure you don't have pneumonia. That kind of scan is pretty common and pretty difficult to be wrong unless the machine is really bad. But even looking for a break in your bone, sometimes there are tiny little hairline fractures that are difficult to miss. And so even with something as straightforward as imaging the bone, sometimes they're incorrect.
Well, and there's also what's called scan artifacts, which makes it look as though there's something there when there isn't something there. So you can have two types of errors. You can have something being invisible that should be visible, and then you have the error of something apparent on the scan that isn't real. So you have to have a very skilled reader. You have to have them know what they're looking at. It's best if they, especially for patients with chronic conditions, it's best if they can look at past scans to compare them. And these are all very, very important things. if you go to a different doctor, a different location, a different facility, and have a scan on a different machine, it's going to look similar to your past scans, but it's not likely to look identical. But it's still valuable to compare your past scans with your current scans.
Absolutely, and that's a very good point. So we do want to watch what's different from scan number one to scan number two, et cetera, et cetera, and what changed, and to be able to measure the differences, for example, in tracking the growth of a tumor, then you'd want to know, did it get bigger? Did it get smaller? Did it change in shape? Is it taking on different characteristics? And these are things that are going to be best noticed by a physician who is skilled in your particular kind of problem. And the more esoteric the problem, the more important that is.
Absolutely. Many people have found that it's to their advantage to have all their scans read by the same radiologist if they can arrange that. And they find one person in their facility who they begin to read the different reports, and they trust this person's reports, and they ask, could you always do my reports, and could I always get my scans on the same machine? And these things, small as they are, can make a really big difference, because one radiologist will be very, very, very meticulous in saying, there's a pinpoint here and a tiny little dot over here, and there's something that might be a piece of dust, but it might be a tumor. and radiologists usually are very cautious in what they say, and they don't want to miss anything, so they will put down everything that they see. But having the same radiologist go over your scans, he'll look at the old scan, look at the new scan, and say, oh, yeah, I remember that, and that turned out to be a whatever. And he'll be able mm-hmm. to do a write-up that is more informative and more accurate than somebody just looking at your new scan for the first time.
Right. And it's also important, what comes up for me as you were talking, is it's also important to remember that the radiologist is giving you his best read on the picture. And he may or may not be able to accurately make a diagnosis. So I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I have a friend who is a physician who has VHL. So he is himself at risk for the kinds of tumors that occur in VHL, which include kidney cancer and also some primary tumors in the brain. And he put his own scan in with a group of other people's scans when he sent them to the radiologist for reading. And he was going over this stack of scans with the radiologist. And he came to his own scan, which did not have his name on it. But anyway, so the radiologist saying, oh, look at this poor guy. He's got metastatic spots in the brain secondary to kidney cancer. And my friend said, oh, no, I know what that is. And that's not what it is. And so it wasn't mets to the brain. It was more primary tumors in the brain. And because the radiologist was not very familiar with VHL per se, he misinterpreted. So that's the difference between what you see on the scan, which we definitely want them to tell us about in detail, versus the diagnosis, which can be added by the medical doctor who understands this particular medical condition. So that, too, is something to watch out for.
Right. Radiologists typically are very cautious in how they word things. So the most a radiologist will say usually is it appears to be a tumor or a mm-hmm. mass or a lesion or whatever.
Right.
But they won't say it's cancerous because you can't tell that from a scan. And they won't
right.
say
all you can tell is it's a little white dot. It's a little white
right.
dot, and exactly what that is, we're not too sure, but it's a dot.
But then they have gradations, like they'll say, this is suspicious
right.
for, and suspicious for means it might be, I'm gonna err on the side of caution and say it might be this, but I'm hoping
mm-hmm.
it's not. And right. they have further degrees of hedging where they will say, I saw this, but I don't really know what to make of it. And they say it in very professional language, of course. But you have to understand what they're talking about.
Right. And I had the experience once when we were trying to decide what to do with my son's kidneys. I actually took one set of CTs and had the hospital make three copies. So three copies of exactly the same scan. And we sent them to three different radiologists at three prestigious hospitals, all of whom I have enormous respect for. So these were not just any old radiologist. These were carefully selected top people in their field for kidney cancer. And what we got back were three distinctly different reports. The number of tumors, the size of the tumors, the characteristics of the tumors were different on all three reports. And that really brought home to me that radiology is an art. It's not just a simple science. This is an art.
Right. One thing people don't realize is that there can be a lot of variation in what a radiologist gets from the scan, the impression mm-hmm. that they get, whether it's a good scan, whether it's a scary scan for the patient. And one radiologist will see things that another radiologist will simply say, well, that's not important, or that's not as big a deal.
And I think one of the things that they were debating about is whether they should be happy or scared about the introduction of image processing, computerized image processing. IBM has recently bought a scan company so that they can now feed hundreds of thousands of scans into their Watson computer and teach Watson medicine so that Watson can tell the difference between this kind of a tumor and that kind of a mass. And, you know, so there's a certain computer phobia happening right now. It's like, is this computer going to put us out of a job? But, you know, what I said about that was I think it would be really great if the computer would take off the back of the radiologist the ordinary stuff. You know, it's a hairline fracture or it's not a hairline fracture. I mean, it doesn't really take a ton of experience to talk about those kinds of things. Let the computer do those, but let the radiologist really get involved with the patient and the ordering physician in some of these very tricky problems that you've been talking about. The patient needs to understand too that they are looking at this gray on gray structure. This is not an easy thing to read. One of the doctors put up a slide and said, "Okay, everybody." And this is a group full of top radiologists, you understand. She says, okay, count the tumors in this lung scan. And everybody's counting the little white dots. And nobody mentioned the dark gray dot that was up in the top right-hand corner that, in fact, was the bad guy in that picture. So, yeah, I mean, if the scanning technology, if the computer technology would say, I've got 10 things on here that need comment, there's this one, that one, the other one, and put little arrows, and then the radiologist would know, oh, my goodness, there's that thing there. I didn't even see that. Ah, you're right. Okay, now what is that? So it's that analysis. It's that, I like to say, personalized wisdom that we're looking for from these very experienced professionals to give us that perspective on the scan. You and I can both see the little white dots. That's not the problem. The problem is all the subtleties.
Right, and what do those white dots mean?
Yes.
I remember we had scans in which the biggest white dot turned out to be a blood vessel that had happened to be imaged straight on. So it looked like a perfect circle, and it looked like a tumor. But it wasn't a tumor. He said, that's where your blood vessel is. And the doctor told us this, not the radiologist, but I'm sure the radiologist pointed it out to him.
Right.
And there are so many things on scans that can require interpretation. There are so many things on scans that are picked up at different phases of the scan. One of the things that's becoming popular nowadays is to do a triphasic scan, where you do a scan during the arterial phase and during the venous phase And then you compare everything, and you have three different scans at different points in the contrast and the circulation of the person, and you can compare views on the spot of the like three different times, very closely associated times. But it's like having three snapshots taken in very quick succession.
Right.
One of them shows the bird in perfect flight without any blurring, and the other two show blurs. It's the same thing that a scan taken a second later or 10 seconds later can show you something that you didn't see in the first scan.
Right. We're down to the last 5 minutes, so there's one other thing I wanted to point out from a patient's perspective, and that is I know everybody's been concerned about radiation dose. Not enough not to get the scan, you understand. We're still getting the scans because they have enormous value for us. But there is this sort of nagging concern in the back of our brains about it. And I wanted to share that in the last 10 years that I've been watching this, there's been enormous progress. But if you are concerned, or if you've clocked a lot of scans and you want to try to minimize your exposure going forward, ask the radiologist, how old is this machine? You know, and the younger machines actually deliver less radiation per scan, because the manufacturers have been working on this too. So if you have a machine that's less than 5 years old, you're likely to get a better picture with less radiation. It's that combination. We want a good image, but we want to use the minimum amount of radiation necessary to make a good image. So it's a balance point. The other thing is that
right.
all of these younger machines actually report, at the end of the scan, they report how much radiation was delivered. So you can get that number. It's actually in the data that goes along with the scan now. They're storing the scans in the computer. They don't make the big film things anymore. It's stored in the computer, and as part of the metadata, it's called, that's associated with that computer file. One of the things that is reported now is the amount, the radiation dosage that was delivered. And you can ask for that. It is supposed to be written in your electronic health record, but especially if you're going to multiple hospitals, you might even want to keep track of it in a little notebook. And I can put into the information for the show with the URL. There's actually a thing on the internet that you can make yourself a little logbook and keep track of how much radiation you're clocking. We don't really know what the danger point is, or if indeed there is a danger point at this point, but if we begin to collect it now, then 10 years from now, we'll have enough data to look back and say, aha, you know, there really was no danger at all, or maybe it increased the number of tumors by 1% over the average. I mean, we really do think it's modest like that. We really think it's a tiny risk. And as a matter of fact, there is one study that shows that people who live at high altitudes and who get more radiation on a regular basis, just walking around in the sunshine, in fact do not have a higher risk of cancer. And it could be that small doses of radiation delivered over a longer period of time actually have a little bit of a protective effect. So we're still figuring this out, but if you want to start collecting your own data, that would be wonderful and would, in fact, be helpful over time. So
yes.
Do we have time for one more question, Robin? Go.
Okay, one more thing that patients ought to know is they ought to have an idea of what's on their scans. For example, if a person has cancer, they should know, I have tumors in the left lung but not in the right lung. And then if a doctor says to them, I see something in the right lung, you're going to be more worried, but at least you will know this is something new that's showing up on the scan that hasn't showed up there before. I remember
right.
one patient who had terrible metastases to his liver, but they were being pretty well controlled by medication. And he went to a different facility and had a scan, and the radiologist came in looking terribly gloomy. And the patient thought, oh, my gosh, what's wrong? And the doctor told him, I'm really sorry to tell you that you have metastases all over your liver. And the guy burst out laughing because he already knew that.
Yeah. This is not new news, Doctor. It may be new to you, but
right.
It's not new to me. Thank goodness. So, anyway.
Yes, the doctor was really shocked.
That's great. Thanks, Robin. And thanks, everybody, for being with us today. We hope that you've gotten some value out of today's show, and we hope that you'll be with us again next week. So be well and be a powerful patient. Take good care.